All right, tell me a little bit about yourself, like maybe about how you started your business or your education or your background.
From the I really started in high school when I started working really young, and I saw the value of money, and the old hustlers, the people that work harder and were rewarded for it. So that kind of sets a precedent. And then after 2 years in the military, I knew I wanted to go back to school, and I took the GI Bill and went to college for 2 years. And after 2 years, I started working with Penney's in their advertising department, which kind of set a base for me. While I was going to school for 2 years, they could see that I wanted to get into their management program, and they were really short on management material, management people. So they offered me the same position after 2 years of college that I would have had after 4 years of college. So I left school early and started on their management program, and I was on their management trainee program for 2 years. And after 2 years, became a buyer, and I was with Penney's for 16 years. And the thing about corporate level was they send you through a lot of training over a period of time, and so my training included merchandising, in other words, buying as well as selling product. I became a personnel manager and ran a store that had like 600 employees, and I went through many weeks of training to do the personnel procedures and the hiring and firing and the scheduling and the productivity and so on. And from that position, I became an operations manager, and that was for running a store and the profitability of the store and the expenses and the whole nine yards. And all of these procedures in the corporate world basically bring you to that next level where they want you to have a little bit of everything inside. And then I went through training for promotional concepts and planning promotions and building advertising programs and just tying all the buying aspect with the personnel aspect together within the stores and the districts. And I went to district staff, which had around 40 stores in the district, and my job was to build all of the circulars and TV and radio and tie it directly with the buyers. So we would have buyer meetings versus the promotional meetings and talk about what we're going to do for back to school and Christmas and so on, and build the circulars, rotogravures, that's the things you see in Sunday papers, and then scheduled advertising for TV and radio. And I did that for about 4 years, and that was about $120 million in volume that I did. So that's it. Kind of got my background in business, and as you saw different things that were going on, and you would see some of the people that were in the company that left the company to start their own start their own business. It kind of got your wheels turning. And that's when I decided to go on my own. So I left the company after 16 years and started my retail stores, which were kids' stores, children's apparel and shoes. And I had done my homework and researched what the opportunities were. And after a good share of my time in the last year to 2 years at Penney's, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to open children's stores, and that's what I did. And I went to people that had opened their business and talked with them and came up with a concept that I wanted to use, and shook the dice and went out on my own, which was not easy, because the first 2 years you don't draw a dime salary. You try to build your business, and you learn the hard way, you have to determine what your target is, what your market's going to be, and what kind of a customer you want to do in the kids' business. So after 5 years doing that, I decided that one of my strongest areas in my strollers were shoes for children, and I became somewhat of a niche, and I could see the handwriting on the wall that rather than being in retail, if I could be in wholesale, I could grow my business a lot faster and a lot bigger. And I didn't have hours on the door locked into in mall situations when you have stores. So, you know, in retail, you're scheduled to 77 hours a week in a retail mall. And a lot of times when you first start out, you're working 77 hours a week because you're there every minute of the store is open. Where in a wholesale business, it's not so many hours on the door. It's more of a travel and working at home and doing that type of thing. And I started doing some wholesale business, actually representing shoe companies, because it was kind of a first love that I discovered in the children's business. And one thing led to another, and I built that business as a sales rep. And that's when Bob and Jeff started coming in on board with us. And one thing led to another, and we met several people overseas because these companies that I represented wanted me to go into the Orient and show them how to build footwear. And then, of course, the companies I worked for wanted me to go out and sell what I had built. And one thing led to another, and we had several factories come to me and tell me they wanted me to start my own company and that they would finance us to do it. And that's how we got into our business. Is part of it was the vision of what we wanted to do and what we were doing when we were sales reps. So I was in product development as well as sales, and that leads into production and following through and doing your own thing. So you really had to build a business plan that's outside of sales and outside of product development. You can also look at, cost of distribution, cost of shipping, and many things that I hadn't done before in the past. So that just took a lot of time and a lot of work, and kind of went from there. Is trying to find that niche that would fill the customer's needs that you would see, that would help you create that business plan. And your customers that you've known over the time that you sell the product, they're the ones that a lot of times tell you what they're missing and what we need to do. And if you listen to those people, that's where it generates vision and ideas, where you know what they want. Nobody has really come to them with that product. Or the ones that have come to them and don't do a very good job, you see the opportunity of becoming kind of a Nordstrom's within your company, because you kind of have to see what your competition does and what other people do that do it right, and you study those people. And we kind of had the Nordstrom mentality of taking care of our customers. And Penny's always instilled that in us too. The customer's always right, and whether or not they are right or wrong, you're going to take care of them. And there's quite a few people that were in the wholesale business that didn't do that, and we had to get the customers, that particular customer, to believe in us, and that was the hardest part of getting the customers to believe in us and opening those doors to get in to sell them product. And that comes through, really comes through networking and getting to know the customers really well and getting them to trust you and you trust in them. Just really becoming a partner. If that's what it's all about, it's a partnership between the suppliers and a partnership within the retail business. That's the important thing. In our industry, there's a lot of competition out there, and our gig was, we've got the quality and the style at a value price because we could see an opportunity that wasn't maybe so brand of a branded type of merchandise as it was a value. So we could even build things and put our own customers' names on them, and you know, they may be half the price of a Sketcher or a Tiva or whatever, and that really appealed to them. And you know, we had the quality was there to have the trust to sell to their customers. So that was the whole thing. And then the factors of growth were the big thing. Is when we first started business, we ran into a situation where if you grew too fast, you had real problems. And we ran into that at first, where we would take orders that we all of a sudden realized that we didn't have the financing to be able to afford to bring in the amount of orders that they've handed us. And that created a real problem, because the banks had a set credit line on us, and when we would get an order for $200,000 and our credit line was $100,000, it definitely created problems. So you have to learn to grow slow and be really patient at what you do. And it just takes time. And then you'd run into production problems would be another hindrance that sometimes created problems for us, and that was not having enough factories or enough workers to be able to finish the purchase orders that we need. So you just, you know, you kind of have to foresee and have the visions of not only what merchandise is hot, but you have to foresee the vision of what could go wrong and what could go right. And then it would make the transition of growing a little bit smoother, so that you don't run into trouble with your retailers.
What personality traits do you think all entrepreneurs should have?
Well, the probably the biggest thing is they need to, again, have the ability to have to vision and what they're doing, and they really need to have a financial common sense. They need to have the ability to train people and to keep people, to have compassion for not only the people they, you know, they bring into their company, but that they, you know, you have to have compassion for the customer that you work with, and you just, you got to learn to network. You got to learn to listen a lot to your people, and especially your customers. And you got to have the ability to delegate your work and not be afraid to let your people do their job. And you got to learn to let them, you know, let them work, let them do what they need to do, and reward them, reward them what they deserve, and hold on to those good people. That's the main thing, is holding on to good people, and that's really important. And then it's almost like the Bill Gates Allen concept, you know, if you have a vision and you have an idea that you know it'll work, you bring the right people into the right positions, and you may offer them partnerships to make it work. And you just can't do everything yourself. You want to be able to find that right marriage within your employees or your partnerships that will make it fun. So that's the big one. It's just working with the people and have the ability to, you know, to delegate and train people. I mean, that's half the battle right there. But and the other thing you need to do is, in some cases, work within the field. You know, learn the field a little bit before you go jumping into it. You know, and get the get the basics down and see, is this really what I want to do? But you want to be a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. You've got to be a dreamer. You know, without those wild dreams that you can think about, then it's a matter of networking and finding the right people that can help you, that you can pick their brain and get ideas to make that particular vision or dream come true. So that's it. And that's kind of what would you give to a young entrepreneur is keep dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and network in every way you can, and read up on different people in different positions and of the little companies that they've done, because it doesn't matter if you're selling toothpicks or selling shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all kind of the same thing. It really doesn't matter. There's a lot of concepts besides just hard work and long hours, you know, that make things go a little smoother and make it right. So, and never think you have anything cornered in the market, because you don't. You know, there's always a competitor out there, and always be up on what your competitor is doing too. It's just part of it.
All right, Jim. Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem.